This lesson is learning scripture, and I'm talking about the King James Bible, the 1611 to 1769, which are the pure, preserved words of God for the English-speaking people. Now, if you have a book, so-called Bible, other than the King James Bible, throw it away. The New King James Bible, the NIV and the NWT, or any other so-called Bible, is distorted and perverted. You will not find what God intended for us to learn in those books. Some of the new translations have changed words, left words out, and some places have left out entire verses. If your Bible is not a King James Bible, a 1611-1769, then get rid of it. The new perverted books are Satan's tools to deceive people into believing something that is not scriptural, and that is not accurate in meaning as the Lord intended for us. Not knowing Scripture is one thing, but being willing to learn and understand Scripture is totally different matter. In 2 Timothy 2:15, God told us, for a purpose that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When someone tells you that your salvation is in Acts 2:38, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's compare that with Paul in 2 Timothy 2:7. Consider what I say, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And that was Paul speaking. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, Paul's gospel, the gospel of Christ. In Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. See, Christ wasn't raised for their justification back then, was he? They didn't have the atonement when Christ was raised from the dead back then. They're looking for that kingdom, for their sins to be blotted out, and for them to receive their atonement. Peter was an apostle, a disciple of Christ's earthly ministry. Let's see what the gospel of the kingdom is about. Starting in Matthew 15:24, but he, Jesus, answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew 10:1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And Matthew 10:5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Matthew 10:6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In the next verse, 7, and as ye go, preach, saying, here's their gospel, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, weren't they? Christ's earthly ministry in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, everything back then in that kingdom during Christ's earthly ministry was in the name of Jesus, wasn't it? Well, it's not today. We don't operate in the name of Jesus. We are complete in Christ. He has done it all for us. And Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So that's what they're looking for, is that kingdom where their sins, when Christ literally sets foot on Mount Zion, that their sins would be blotted out in that kingdom. Israel's sins are in remission. I guess I just covered that, which is the time of refreshing when Christ returns to earth. Acts 1:6, when they, the disciples, therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, they didn't say, well, thank you, Lord, for dying for our sins and dying for the sins of everyone in the world. They were concerned about their kingdom, weren't they? They could care less about us Gentiles at that time. Remission of sins is not forgiveness. And I know that thousands of preachers, I know the preacher where I used to go to church believed that remission is the same as forgiveness. Well, it's not. There's no way. our sins aren't going to be blotted out in that kingdom, are they? Our sins are already forgiven. And when Israel's sins are blotted out in the kingdom of heaven, that will be their forgiveness. That'll be their atonement, won't it? Never in the books of Romans through Philemon does Paul tell us to repent. Never does he tell us to be baptized for the remission of sins. Here is what our Apostle Paul said to and for us Gentiles. Ephesians 2:8 and most. We know during the earthly kingdom that Christ gave them commandments to do a lot of things, didn't they? They had to do and work for their place of righteousness with Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are reconciled, brothers and sisters. We don't have to be concerned about that wrath. Paul said we're not appointed to wrath to have our sins blotted out. We are already reconciled, aren't we? In Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened. Quickened means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. In Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. Yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's. All trespasses are taken care of, aren't they? Sin is not the issue. It's believing the gospel of the salvation. Believing that Christ has indeed paid for our sins. Glorying in the cross. Thanking the Lord for what he has done for us on the cross. And believing that. That's what the issue is today, isn't it? Believing what Christ has done for us and that he has paid it all. And we just are thankful for what he has done for us. And let's see here. I got a Colossians 3:2. Paul told us also to set our affection on things above, not on things of earth. Let's do some comparison of scriptures, which shows the differences between Israel's gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of Christ. To and for us today, and he was giving them instruction, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And Paul says in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So if they have an inheritance of the earth, and we're not to set our affections on the things of the earth, but to set our affection on things above, that's two different places, isn't it? Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have blessings in heavenly places. In Genesis 48:4, and said unto me, God was Abraham talking about, God said unto him, behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and will make thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thee, after thee, for an everlasting possession. And in Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive up until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. And Paul says something entirely different, doesn't he? In Romans 16:25, Paul says, now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Well, if it was spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets, it wasn't kept secret, was it? And what the secret that Paul was talking about was held in God. It wasn't written down in the Old Testament scriptures. It was held in God. It wasn't hidden in the Old Testament. And so you can see the difference of that. If it's spoken, it's not revelation of the mystery. And if it's mystery, then it's not spoken, right? Apostle Paul received progressive revelations throughout his ministry. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And Paul knew that he was going to receive. Christ had told him that he would reveal things to him. So Paul knew that he was going to learn more and more as he went along. And in the other lesson that I played, you know, we know that Paul was a had the power of the Holy Ghost, that he could heal and do miracles, signs, and wonders. But as his ministry went on, he was no longer able to do that. And we see that, like I'd showed you about Trophimus at Miletum, sick, and Timmy drinking some wine for his stomach because Paul couldn't do those things any longer. In Galatians 1:11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." In Galatians 1:12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Thank you, Gracie, for posting. I appreciate that, sis. In 2 Timothy 2:7, "Consider what I say," with Paul speaking, "and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." In verse 8, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel," the gospel of Christ, not the gospel of the kingdom. Paul never talked about the gospel of the kingdom. He never preached the gospel of the kingdom, did he? But yet Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. And they didn't know about this grace period that we are in. They looked right on across this valley that we're in, this grace period, where the body of Christ is being formed. They were looking for that of the kingdom. Christ was resurrected to sit on the throne of David in the restored kingdom to Israel. The thousand-year reign kingdom here on earth, Israel will be redeemed at that day of refreshing and the coming of the Lord to the earth. In Luke 1:32, "He shall be great," this is talking about Christ, "he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Luke 22:30, "that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And we know that the 12 disciples have their names written on the gates or on the foundations of those 12 gates in that kingdom, don't they? And they'll rule and reign with Christ there in that kingdom. Well, Paul wasn't a 13th apostle or a disciple of Christ like a lot of people would like to make him. And his name isn't written there. There'd be 13 names if it was, wouldn't? And so we know that Paul was not a disciple of Christ's earthly ministry. A lot of people don't understand that. There's two different things going on. And for us, the gospel of grace, our Apostle Paul told us that Christ was raised again for our justification. For them, it was to sit on the throne of David, wasn't it? For Israel, they understood that Christ was resurrected to sit on the throne of David. For us, Christ was raised for our justification. In Romans 5:18, "Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men to justification of life." Now, how bad do we see people distort that? That, by Adam, sin entered the world, and by Christ, righteousness came to all men, and everybody's justified, and everybody's going to be saved. And that's a distortion, isn't it? It's those that believe the gospel of their salvation, that believe that what Christ did on the cross was sufficient for our salvation. And so, even though we are everyone in this world, Christ did die for their sins. Their sins are paid for, but they're not going to be applied. That's not going to be applied to their account unless they believe that it is Christ and Christ alone and no one else. There's only one mediator between man and God, and that we need to believe that Christ is the only one that can pay, that did pay for our sins, and he's the only means of us of attaining salvation is through his shed blood. And there, Romans 3:28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And in Romans 5:9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." And he's talking about that wrath there is that great tribulation that Israel will have to go through. And a lot of times you talk to people and they'll say, well, we all go through wrath every day. We all have struggles and stuff, and this wrath. But they don't understand that the wrath that's being talked about there is the Great Tribulation. It's never been anything that bad before and never will again. Scripture tells us that it's going to be a pretty serious situation for Israel, and they have the Holy Ghost to help them, to comfort them, to get them through that time of Jacob's trouble. And that's the wrath that Paul is referring to there. He's not talking about these minuscule little things that we go through now that we call wrath or problems or trials or tribulation. They don't amount to a hill of beans compared to what's going to go on during that 7-year period for Israel during Jacob's trouble. And we're going to finish up the lesson here now. I've got that, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, got about 7 more verses. For God hath not appointed us, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that we should live together with him. Man, that's a great promise, isn't it? Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the last verse is 4:18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So aren't you glad that we don't have to go through the tribulation, that our sins are not in remission, that we're waiting to have our sins blotted out, and the atonement in that kingdom? It'll be a great time for Israel after they have endured the tribulation, the 7 years. But they have the Holy Ghost, don't they? And the Holy Ghost is referred to as power. And so they have the power, they have the ability to endure, to go through that tribulation time. You and I don't have that Holy Ghost power. We'd never make it. That's why it's important that we believe the gospel of our salvation. We believe that Christ paid for our sins, that he is the only means of our salvation, that we are complete in him, that we're promised eternal life with him in heaven, that we have a place of hope in heaven, and we don't have to go through that. And I'm really thankful. I look back to the cross. Before, they looked forward, didn't they? They looked at the cross and to the cross. We look back at the cross. And Paul said that if anyone would teach a gospel or a gospel other than what he has preached, let them be accursed. And we know that those preachers that go back into the Old Testament or go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and teach it for the body of Christ today, that they're barking up a wrong tree, aren't they? That we are saved and sealed and completed, and there is nothing else that we can do. Our cup is full, and there's nothing else that we can do to add or to maintain our salvation. Christ has done it all.